Welcome back to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. I want to now change the topic to sports, and a person that I've been following and reflecting on is over the programs last few years is Amanda Serrano, our seven titles that she's been holding, and she's now 37. Thinking about whether this is her last year, and she had a fight in Texas and won with a TKO in the second round against a German, and clearly outclassed her. First round was kind of just feeling out, but the German, who had quite a bit of knockouts, I think out of 13 wins, she's just starting, had some like seven knockouts, but I never really got a good punch at her. And in the second round, the fight had to be stopped. Her corner, I think, threw in the towel, and the referee stopped the fight. And it was with that victory, she tied Christy Martin's 33 knockouts, which is one of the records that she wanted to achieve. This Christy Martin had 50 victories, and Armanda now has 48. So one of the things, if that kind of tie or go beyond that particular record, may have to go beyond the year, but she's going to go for it. And she once ends up her career with a fight in Puerto Rico. And she was exceedingly articulate, praising the La Paz, excuse me, I don't remember now where in Texas it was held. But in any case, it was very, appreciative of the people and of everything. And she was, of course, she's a model for the women in the boxing world. And she's going to be coaching and training and probably promoting women boxing. It's pretty clear she's already moving towards that. It's the kind of thing that I think is important, that as you kind of starts ending the particular portion of your career that you have in store and in mind and where you're headed and start moving that way. I'm pretty proud of, in that regard, as I've moved, out of retirement from Mecano Valdez to what I do. And Armando does, Amanda has done that really, really well. So kudos to her. In that particular fight, there were two other fights, and it just kind of reflecting on the sporting world and how certain sports, the decision is completely up to referees, umpires, judges, arbitrary, whatever you want to call them, and the particular sport, they kind of change. And in boxing, unless you do the knockout or a TKO where the corner of the boxer throws in the towel, and that's where that term comes in, throw in the towel, you're giving up. Unless that kind of happens, you have to then rely on the judges, and then there were two fights that were really not one of them wasn't controversial, because the one who was the better boxer, a Mexican boxer, ended up winning, but it was a split decision. One judge 95-94, and the other one 94-95, so that split, and then the third judge. So those two saw it kind of close, and it wasn't that close from my point of view. The other judge saw it 98-91, at the Mexican security one, which is what I think was the right one. But just kind of shocking, how different that was. And then in the feature fight, because Serrano didn't fight in the feature fight. She was by a local, Stephanie Hahn, and against a neighbor in Albuquerque, Holly Holm, and 44-year-old, and she was martial art. And in that fight, Stephanie Han was beauty pageant winner, police officer, mother, local, from that's where she grew up. Her sister had fought before, and also she was clearly, the local favorite and kind of like the favorite for the TV fans and all. I was for the 44-year-old. I usually go for the senior, not only myself, but the commentators in the programs clearly saw, Holly Holm win that fight, but the judges saw one of them tied, 95-95, and the other one and the other two, 96-94. The other two went for Han, the local favorite. That despite in terms of the punches landed. Holly Holm landed 107 versus 70. Incredible. And a higher percentage. She threw more punches, landed more punches, and had a better percentage of landed punches. And that's one of the problems, when you have judges and you have things taking place, and sometimes you even wonder whether, things didn't work out. Or kind of worked out beforehand, frankly. That it happens in the gymnastic world. It happens in the diving, and a lot of other sports where figure skating is another one where referees, judges, umpires are the ones that make decisions. And I would have trouble in those kinds of sports, frankly. And with the ones I played, it was touchdowns and goals and runs and that kind of thing. Even though always referees can change or an umpire can change the game, but normally does not. With respect to the her, who I really respect and look forward to see how she finishes her career and moves on. The last week I talked about the jockey school in Puerto Rico and how we have developed tremendous jockeys and how people are coming from other parts of the world to train here to learn a 2-year program. And two things have happened in the jockey world. One is the Puerto Rican Edgar Sayas. I always wonder, these 1,000-pound horses and these small jockeys. I think the 109 is or 115, I think, is the top. So they're really in the low 100s and very tough, in terms of their legs and they're all muscle, but they're really relatively light on these huge horses. But Edgar Sayas had a really bad fall. The horse apparently doesn't see well from one eye, and stepped on the hoof of the other horse and kind of panicked and apparently he went completely over the front of the horse, and the horse ran over him. Luckily, bruises and all and soreness, but nothing major happened to him. But it's a dangerous sport. And there you have a sport where you have to count on your horse. I mean, there's a lot of skill in how you handle the horse, but at the end, to a great extent, there's certain aspects you can't control. So there's these sports, car racing and horse that really rely on, you have to rely on something else that you're handling in order to be successful. In terms of horse racing, we're in the Belmont Stakes, going to be this Saturday. And out of the nine horses, jockeys, four of them are Puerto Rican. And what's going to be really interesting is the two brothers who came in first and second in the Belmont, Jose Luis and Inirad Ortiz, are going to be in there. And incredibly, they're going to be on the same horses this time, you know, as they were in the Kentucky. And with Golden Tempo, the one that won the Kentucky with Jose Luis, and Inidad Ortiz will be on what's the name of that horse? Renegade, and so it's kind of replay. We'll see. And Renegade again is the favorite, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. And then there's two others that can be in the running. So. You know, tune in on Saturday, the Belmont Stakes and our Puerto Rican jockeys. And then in the sporting world, another, you know, an area that I've been pointing out like this in the jockey and the horse racing, in Paso Fino's is another one where we can be world contenders. It's the table tennis, which we used to call ping pong. And I've been mentioning, you know, with the players that we have had, how this could be a sport that we could really develop world-class, you know, players at different levels and ages and gender. And in that regard, you know, a couple of things happen. First of all, Brian Afanador, who's been one of our top table tennis players, has decided to not compete in the Dominican Republic in this year. And these are the Central American Games. And his reason is he wants to train and main, you know, he wants to really devote his time now to develop young table tennis players. And kudos to him. I've seen him a couple of times in the training world, and that's what we need. And in connection with that, there was an article, and this came out the 31st of May. The pioneer in this sport in Puerto Rico, I was not familiar with this, is Lisette Kiki Gaitán Rivera, and she's the first woman. She's just to preside the International Federation of Table Tennis Federation, in headquarters in London, and she was a great table tennis player in her youth. So she's I think it'll be a big plus to move the whole table tennis thing. But we should get the private sector, the non-private non-profit center groups, and the government, that we should all get behind a sport like this and see how we can develop the children going through and becoming, you know, top, you know, table tennis players, and more importantly, even not having champions, just getting sports where a lot of kids with a lot of enthusiasm and getting well, because sports and exercise is crucial for the well-being of the kids and the well-being of our society. So that's table tennis and along those lines and in Vocero, and this was the 2nd of June, there was an article on Barea, basically telling Jose Juan Barea, he was our basketball NBA player for many years, and the Mavericks in Dallas, and he really lambasted Puerto Rico for deterioration of our infrastructure with respect to baseball fields and basketball and volleyball and all. I'm 100% in agreement with him. He says that the facilities were in better shape when he was a youngster, developing out, that things have gotten worse, which is really sad. Instead of, you know, improving from his point of view, and I agree. Of course, we've had some problems, you know, with Maria and with the pandemia and earthquakes and all, but I just don't think as a society, let's put that word, that we really get behind the sporting world the way we should, and especially with the younger kids. And we got to do more. We do okay, but we got to do a heck of a lot more for the same reason I just finished saying. It's not only develop, you know, world-class athletes, but more important, much more important, is to develop athletes that enjoy their sports and do exercise and learn from, you know, working as a team and learning how to lose and respecting decisions by umpires and the adults, the parents and the family members laying off and also respecting, which is one of the hardest parts. But the whole thing should work out. And in connection, you know, with the finish off my reflections on sports, I was just analyzing by coincidence, you know, the standings in the Major League, you know, baseball. I'm a Boston fan, and they're at the cellar, the last one in the Eastern Division of the American League let's see, their percentage is 415. So they've won 22 and lost 31. And just by said, well, you know, how would they be if they were in some other division? There's one division where the except for the first one and the thing, you know, all the other ones are basically 527, and they would be really, you know, doing really well. But there's one division where the Boston Red Sox would be right in the running. I mean, the top team is 491, and most of them are 482, 848, and 382. So, depending on which division you're in, you can be doing okay. And so that's kind of ironic in the world. And that kind of happens a lot in life, right? It depends on where you're located. Depending on who's your competition, you can really be at the bottom, or you can be at the top, and with respect to who you're competing with at that particular moment, whether it's, you know, education or sports or movie, you know, artists, musician, whatever. What's the pond you're playing? You're swimming in, right? Okay, so that is kind of on the sporting world, and Hector is Muzin. We finished the second segment, and I'm kind of organized today. I don't know. I mean, that's strange. So we'll take a pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez Reflections. We'll be right back. Mm-hmm.